Hi, my name is Russell Norman. Welcome to Blue Marble Storytellers, bringing you great stories from around the globe. On this episode, Lizzie Fuller reads her story, The Thing Who Came to Breakfast. Lizzie Duffield Fuller writes a wide range of stories, with fantasy and short stories published under the name E.M. Duffield Fuller, and historical romance novels under the pen name Beth Fuller. She has recently completed a fantasy novel, Felgrim, the first book of the Dark Watch trilogy, due out in April 2022 with Heroic Books. Deirdre and I talked to Lizzie on episode 4 of Read Lots, Write Lots podcast. Please enjoy her wonderful story.
The Thing Who Came to Breakfast by E.M. Duffield Fuller. I set the breakfast table. 2 plates, 2 bowls, 2 cups, half of which will remain untouched until I stack them neatly back on the shelf again. Fingerprints alone grease the rims. There is no clatter of cutlery against them. Nothing to harmonise with the dawn chorus outside my grubby window. You always booked the window cleaner. The thing slides into your chair, as it has done every day since the funeral, when the numbness broke into keening grief. We sit in silence, I weary, it waiting. I have not yet worked out what it is waiting for. The silence, which always lurks in the cobwebbed corners, thickens around the thing, until even the shy tick of the kitchen clock is muted and muffled. The ring of the telephone sounds like it's coming from the bottom of a swimming pool. We both flinch. The thing doesn't like company, save for mine, it seems. I sense, rather than see, its disapproval as I abandon my half-finished breakfast to shuffle over to the phone. The thing lingers at the table, invisible as ever, as I make my way over. A shadowless heaviness in the air, a certain muted coldness, the only indication it is there at all. The phone displays a number I don't recognise, and when I tremulously answer it, an automated voice asks if I have had an accident. The tightness in my chest loosens. Once, an unknown number would not have caused me to panic, but now everything seems too large and frightening, as if I might make a mess of it all without you. You had put on some call-barring thing on the phone to deter scammers. I managed to take it off by accident and can't get it back on. Mandy said she'd sort it out, but she's been so busy. She's worried about me, I know, but not enough to ask me to move in yet. I don't know if she's saving my pride or her independence. I wouldn't take her up on the offer anyway, probably. So, what shall we do today then? I ask the thing as I return to my comfortably faded seat. Chipped and stained from years of memories, fights and careless removal men, raising children and rowdy visits from the grandkids, still it stands. It'll probably end up in the charity shop when I go. Or the dump. My appetite has fled now, but I push the remnants of my muesli around the bottom of the bowl. I can feel the thing watching me patiently. It doesn't answer. I don't even know if it can, because it has never yet spoken to me. Even if it could, I'm not sure what it would suggest. These days are all so endlessly similar now. I must confess, my dear, I thought it was you at first. Not an unlikely hypothesis, given the circumstances. I was very frightened when it first came. Unseen presences lingering in your house do rather do that to you. But I've got used to it now. Neither welcome nor unwelcome. Like so much else in life, it just is, and there's no use complaining about it. The longer it stayed, the more I learnt its cadences, subtle almost enough to be scarcely more than flickers of imagination. A cooling in the air is sulking. When the silence becomes pointed and sharp, that is anger. A slight breath of draught, or a sudden brightness in the sunlight, I take for wag-tailed enthusiasm. Yes, you know, that is what it puts me in mind of most. A large, invisible dog. You never did like pets, did you? Maddie begged and pleaded for one as a child, and when you finally relented, it was only to get her a goldfish. That was your sense of humour. Mandy didn't much find it funny, I recall. I tried dusting flour across the kitchen floor once, to see if I could see any footprints as the thing came to join me at the breakfast table. You would have laughed at that. It didn't help. I could just feel a reproachfulness oozing at me from the kitchen door, and it refused to come and join me until I had swept it all up again. It never comes close enough to be touched or shows me what it truly looks like. Some things don't want to be seen, it seems. Like love and grief, they can only ever be felt. I ought to do something about it, I suppose, but I don't know what. It isn't hurting me. Sometimes I'm not entirely sure it's real. Perhaps I ought to call a doctor and not an exorcist, but I don't want to hear anything they might have to say to me. Grief can do funny things to the mind. Imagination playing tricks on you. Or, even worse, a common symptom of dementia. No, none of those answers are right, nor any better than having a spectral house guest keeping me company in my 2-bed terrace. It is better not to know. I never spoke to Mandy about the thing. She wouldn't understand either. I don't know if I would have told you about it, if you were still here when it came. I like to think that we told each other everything, but I know that isn't true. Secrets aren't always lies, are they? They're not always affairs and drinking problems and lost the mortgage money at the racetracks. They're just space, I think. Keeping the bit of you inside your head, separate from the bit of you in someone else. Perhaps you would have told me I was imagining it too. I sometimes wonder what would have happened if I had died and you had found the thing after my funeral. Would you even have noticed its arrival? Would you have sat across the breakfast table from it, talking to the invisible presence in the empty chair? Even after 54 years of marriage, I can't decide. You'd think I would have known everything about you by now, but no one truly knows anyone else, perhaps. The only person I told was Alan down the street. Weird Al, as everyone joked, with a sardonic sharpness, a touch of cruelty in the humour. I don't know why I told him. Only, perhaps I thought he might understand, and that he had no one else to tell, anyway. I can't rightly remember how it came up, only that I was shuffling down to the co-op at the end of the road for some fresh bread, and he was out in his front garden, trying to align crystals for optimum chi or something in his rock pool. Nice man, never hurt anyone that I know of. For all his oddities. You never had much time for him. Oh, yes, he said, pushing his glasses back up his nose and nodding knowledgeably, his long straggly plaits bobbing along in agreement with every movement. A guardian spirit, very common after a loved one dies. He won't harm you. Fill your house with life, company and noise, and it will leave soon enough. The trouble is, my dear, I don't think I want it to leave just yet. Once it goes, it will be like that last little part of you has gone with it, and I will have to grieve you all over again. so I sit with it here every morning. And the silence fills the table once more. Just me and the thing that comes to breakfast. It's all very Judith Kerr, and I fear that, much like that eponymous tiger, when the thing eventually goes, it will never be seen again. Sometimes I wonder if it will take me with it, and if, perhaps, a small and shameful part of me wants it to. There are no answers for any of these things, so I sit in the silence of another long, empty day, and the thing sits with me. And, my darling, I sometimes think that is enough. At least, for now.
We hope you've enjoyed this story, and if you'd like to provide some feedback, we'd love to hear from you. You can leave your comments at bluemarblestorytellers.com. If you're a writer and would like to showcase your work on Blue Marble Storytellers, or talk to us about your writing on Read Lots, Write Lots, get in touch with us by leaving a comment on our websites, readlotswritelots.com or bluemarblestorytellers.com, or by sending an email to bluemarblestorytellers@gmail.com. So until next time, thanks for listening, and bye for now.